Will you take your Bibles with me, please, and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'd like to read from verses 8 to verse 12. So beginning with verse 8, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is granted to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." Well, 2 weeks ago, we turned to this portion of Scripture and we focused only upon the first part of verse 12, and we considered Paul, what he suffered for the Lord Jesus. This afternoon, we're going to consider Paul's confidence in the Lord Jesus, looking again at verse 12. He says, "For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." So Paul, he says here that he's not ashamed. Why wasn't Paul ashamed of the Lord Jesus? When you can think about the Lord Jesus, the one who is crucified, executed by the Romans as a common criminal, and believed by the Jews to be a false Christ. And yet with those accusations against the Lord Jesus, Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of him." He tells us why. He says, "I am not ashamed for," he's going to give the reason, "for I know whom I have believed in." Paul knew the one that he was trusting in. He knew that Jesus is God incarnate. Who would be ashamed of God? Jesus, the creator of the whole universe. Jesus, the great I am. Jesus, the risen Lord. The one who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The one of whom all of heaven adores in worship. The one and only Savior of sinners. How could anyone be ashamed of the Lord Jesus? Are we ever ashamed of the Lord Jesus? We're glad to own the Lord Jesus when we're with other Christians. We love to get together with other Christians and worship him and sing about him, sing to him, and pray to him. But what about when we are with those who don't know the Lord Jesus? Are we ashamed of him then, just by our silence, so that we don't have to suffer? We sing the hymn, "I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love." It does us well if when we're singing those experiential hymns, such as that one, that we ask ourselves with all honesty, is what I'm singing, is it really true? Jesus, precious treasure. Is he our precious treasure experientially? Well, what about that hymn? "I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love." Perhaps we love to tell that story when we're with others who believe the story. But when was the last time you told the story of Jesus and his love to someone who either doesn't know the story or doesn't believe the story. Ask yourself, when was the last time you told the story about Jesus? When was the last time you shared the gospel with someone who was on the broad road and who's headed for destruction, and they're going to end up in hell unless they hear the story? Are we eager to tell others about the Savior? Tells you if we're ashamed of him or not. Romans 1, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He says in Romans 10, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody has to tell them. What about our friends? Our neighbors? Our co-workers? How will they believe in the Lord Jesus if somebody doesn't tell them about the Lord Jesus and how they can be saved? How are they going to be? Well, Paul says he wasn't ashamed of the Savior. And then he goes on to say in verse 12, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. Paul's confidence was not only in what he believed, but he says here his confidence was in whom he believed. For I know whom I have believed. John MacArthur says it was not Paul's divinely revealed theology, but the one who revealed to him that theology in whom he believed. You can know all about the Lord Jesus and still not know him nor trust in him. And that goes on in this church every single Sunday. Somebody commented to me just this morning, the large percentage of people who are sitting here every Sunday, and they don't believe in Christ. Do we grasp what that means? Do we really grasp that the people we're sitting next to, people we love, they're going to perish in their sins unless they do believe what's being preached from the pulpit? Do we believe that? But those who gather with us, I would say most of them, perhaps all of them, they believe the Bible. They believe that it's God's word. They believe what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus, he's the only way to be saved from their sins. He's the only way that they're going to get into heaven. They know these things. They know about the Lord Jesus, but they don't know him, and they don't trust him. Paul says, for I know whom I have believed. He didn't just know about the Lord Jesus. He knew him experientially. He knew him personally, and he put all of his trust in him. He says here, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he's able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. So I'm convinced of this. He was confident. He was fully persuaded that the Lord was able to save him. That same word is used in verse 5 where it's translated sure. There he says, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which was first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. What was Paul convinced of? Well, again, looking at this verse, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. He's able. Paul was trusting in the one who created the entire universe by speaking it into existence. That's the one he was trusting in. He had this confidence, the one who could calm the wind and the waves with a word, who could cast out demons with a word, who healed all manner of diseases with a word, who restored sight to the blind with a word. He was the one who could raise the dead with a word. He goes to the home of a little 12-year-old girl laying on her bed, dead. He tells her to arise, and she gets up. She's alive. He encounters a funeral procession. He goes over and tells them to put the casket down, and he tells the dead one in the casket to rise, and he gets out of his casket. He goes to the tomb of Lazarus. He's been in that tomb 4 days. Lazarus, come forth! And Lazarus comes forth still with grave clothes on. And Jesus himself said that after 3 days, he's going to rise from the dead. And Jesus did rise from the dead. That's the one Paul was trusting in. He's the one who ascended to heaven. He's the one who sits at the right hand of God, who intercedes for you and me. It says he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him. Paul says, I am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. That word guard there, it's the same word that is used in Luke 2 about the shepherds keeping watch over their sheep. That word is used in Acts 12 of the soldiers guarding Peter in prison. The same word is used here in verse 14, where Timothy is exhorted, guard the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Well, Paul says here, I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. Well, what had he entrusted to the Lord Jesus? Well, his very life and his everlasting soul. That's what he had entrusted to Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? This is the one that we can trust as well. John 10 says, I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one shall be able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. There's the one that Paul was trusting. And we can have confidence in the one who spoke those words. Jesus said in John chapter 6, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I certainly will not cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given to me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. If you're trusting in the Lord Jesus, your soul, your everlasting soul, is safe in Christ. He bought you. He paid the price for you to make you his own. He's committed to you. He's far more committed to you than you are to him. He's not going to lose a single one of his sheep for whom he died. That's marvelous. Jesus says, this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given to me, I lose nothing. The nothing, that includes you. He's not going to include not one single sheep. Remember the words of confidence that Paul spoke to the Christians in Rome. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? And let me just say, as I read these things that Paul lists, they're all things that might tempt us to doubt the Lord's love for us when we're experiencing such things. So he says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all of these things, we are overwhelmingly conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you convinced that he's able to guard what you've entrusted to him until that day being the day of Christ's return, the day when he raises his own to be with him? Are you as convinced as Paul was? You should be. If you've asked the Lord Jesus to save you, you have every reason to be convinced that he has saved you and he's going to keep you safe until the Lord Jesus comes back. And you don't have a single reason to doubt it. And the reason you do doubt it, if you have any doubts at all, is when you look at yourself and you see how sinful you are and how weak you are. You ought to have doubts if you're looking at yourself. We're a bunch of spiritual weaklings. We're not counting on ourselves to get ourselves into glory. We're counting on the Lord Jesus who died for us and who lives and intercedes for us. We've entrusted our souls to him, and he promises to keep us. Well, let's turn in our hymnals